Welcome to the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast, where we untangle the past, rewrite the present, and reclaim our future. I am your host, Tammy Vincent, and together we will break free from old patterns, heal wounds, and create new narratives. Are you ready to transform the effects of your dysfunctional past into your superpowers? Are you excited to get back in touch with your true, authentic self? If so, then hit subscribe and join me weekly on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. Here we will learn from experts as well as experienced thrivers how to turn our trials into smiles while living our most authentic and joyful lives. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Adult Child of Dysfunction. Today we have with us Queen Angela. Queen Angela is the queen of collaborations that believes and lives by the E3 experience: educate, empower, and encourage. And we're going to let her tell you all about that. But she is the change that she desires to see in the world, and she has not allowed her past to define her present nor her future. And she's going to talk all about how you can do the exact same thing. Hello, how are you doing today, Queen?
I'm great. I can't complain. I tell you, it's a blessing to be on this side. So I'm grateful. And thank you for this opportunity to be able to share.
Well, no problem. I mean, this is what we do. We share stories of hope and healing and people that have gotten to the other side. And it looks like you're doing great things. I'm going to let you talk about the little banner behind your head about your book tour and expo and all that stuff. But tell us a little bit about who you are and kind of how you got here.
So I am the youngest of four kids. I am from a little small community right outside of, in between Eddyville and Anderson, South Carolina, called Leveland, South Carolina. Pretty much a farm community. On my street was one way in, one way out. Everybody on my street was my first or second cousin. But how did I get here? I am a domestic violence survivor, suicide attempt survivor. I am a person that has endured a lot. I lost my mom 12 days after my 16th birthday. But did I allow any of these things to stop me from chasing after my dreams? I could have stopped, but I didn't, because I wanted to be the change that I desired to see in this world. You know, I didn't have people pushing me and encouraging me to go to the next level. So I wanted to be that change for other people. So how did I get here? I became a motivational speaker. I became an author. I just began to share my testimony and to share, to be that light to somebody else. So that's just a little bit about me. I tell you, it took me 30 years to get my college degree, but it's just another testament of not giving up and continuing to chase the dream. And to move, you got to move. You can't wait for something to happen or think that it's going to fall out the sky. So that's just the gist of me.
Amen to that. Well, I love what you do. And I love that you are on the other side helping people. And I know what you're talking about when you say that you got to move. You just got to move, because I can remember when I was in the throes of despair and just saying, you know, God, who is going to help me? And I remember thinking to myself at the time that he was saying, Tammy, 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 almost like laughing, like, what do you mean? Who is going to help you? But then I realized as I started getting stronger that he was saying, Tammy, 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 like, you are going to help yourself. You are going to have to pull yourself out. And it was funny how I misinterpreted that for so many years and thought, you know, he's not giving me the answers I need. He's not telling me what to do. And he really was. He was telling me that everything I had, everything I needed, I had. And I needed to pull myself up by my bootstraps and move on and start the healing process and start the journey. So you said you were a domestic violence survivor. Was that a parental thing, or was that a spouse, or tell me a little bit more about that?
So I was shot point blank range with a sawed off shotgun by my husband May 7th, 2014. That day changed my life. I tell you, it changed my life. It made me look at life totally different. And then I'll be the first. And a lot of people say, well, girl, why did you do that? And why did you do this? Well, I forgave my husband, and I wanted to work on our marriage. I went through counseling, I went through everything, but it did not work. And I was able to walk away and not regret walking away. You know, do I regret staying even after? No, I don't, because how did we get there? You have to know the story of how we got there. It wasn't a relationship where I was just beat on, I was abused, I was, but there was some stuff that led up to it. And that day, if I could take it back, if he could take it back, he probably would. But there's no taking it back. We have learned and grown from our mistakes. Well, I have. I can't say that. I only can speak for me. I did the work. I went to therapy. I saw a psychiatrist. I went to two therapists, two different therapists, because I wanted to figure out how did I get there? You know, how did I even allow myself to get in a domestic violence situation? Because looking at the person that you see now, I was this person before I went in. I was involved in domestic violence. I was that person that said, that's not gonna be me. Nobody's ever gonna put their hands on me until you get in that position. You never know. But you have to understand how I got there. And I did the work to figure out, you know, how I can see the signs and how I can help other people not have to go down the road that I went down. And I don't have to go down that road again.
So
So,
I'm just curious, and for the listeners out there, I'm sure they're very curious. How do you go from not being in a violent situation, literally not, you know, I mean, I understand when you're in that domestic violence and it's every day and it's your head getting beat on the wall and you're getting punched and you're getting kicked and you're getting all of this stuff, and then it escalates into the shotgun. How did it go from not the violent situation to literally that extreme of a situation? I'm just curious.
I can just tell you that we had a situation where my stepdaughter was molested.
Okay.
She was impregnated, and we were dealing with a lot of that. And if I had not been consumed with that, I could have saw signs that my husband was going through something, that he was dealing with some stuff, and I could have saw those red signs. Well, I didn't realize that my husband had resorted to the streets and resorted to using drugs and doing other things to kind of cope with what was going on. Because you get slapped in the face with somebody touching your baby, and then the persons that were doing this, you know, it's another slap in the face, because these are people that you know that you love and that are a part of your family, and you don't want to have to go and press charges against these people and do these things, because it was just a bad situation altogether.
So, yeah, it
But
sounds like a
just
very
knowing
volatile.
how, what he was dealing with and all of that, he wasn't a abusive person to me. You know, that was how I was able to, you know, try to work it out. But then when he wasn't trying to get the steps to move past, you know, all of this. You know, we can move past this if you want to, but you gotta want to. You gotta want to have better in life. You gotta want to not resort to the drugs for whatever your situation is. You know, you gotta want to do better. And at that particular time, that's not what he wanted. So I had to walk away. I had to make the decision to say, hey, my life was much more valuable than this, and this is what I want. So I gotta step away from this. You know, and it's about what you need in your life. And I didn't need that in my life. You know, I didn't come from a family of violence. I didn't come from domestic, even though my parents were not together, they were not violent. You know, they were very good co-parents. They both of them loved us. You know, it was no mom turning us against dad and dad turning us against mom. It was none of that. You know, they co-parent well. So I knew what love was. So it wasn't that I was, you know, I didn't know what domestic violence was.
Right.
You know, and just being in situation, and as I look back over my life, and I've shared this plenty of time, that wasn't the first domestic violence situation that I had been in. Just knowing now what domestic violence is all about, that wasn't the first one. I was in my first domestic violence situation in college, but I didn't realize it because I thought it was cute. But now I look back, no, that wasn't cute. That was domestic violence. And if you had a recognized it then, hey, you might could have prevented that. But hey, I can't go back and change none of it. So guess what? I try to help other people to make the right decision and to recognize the red flags and to recognize these situations when they come up.
And that's all
That's
you
all I
can do.
can do.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that's absolutely all you can do, but how courageous, and the kudos to you for, first of all, one, I want to point something out to the listeners in that forgiveness is a hard thing. And to forgive somebody for something so drastic, so, whether it was an accident or a mistake, whatever it was, whether it was drug induced, it doesn't matter. It still happened. And that still is a courageous and brave thing to do, to find it in your heart to forgive that and to try to move on. So kudos to you. I just want to say that
Thank you.
because I know many people out there wrestle with forgiveness for so many different things. And when you understand, like you said, had you known and had you not been consumed in your own probably anger and confusion and everything else based on what happened to your stepdaughter. Yeah, you might have seen the signs, but it all probably, I'm sure, happened in a whirlwind of fast. Even if it might have taken months, but that's still a whirlwind of fast when you're that consumed. And I can only imagine. I can't imagine if somebody had done that to my child. Of course, I'd be out of my mind with anger and rage and everything else. I can't even imagine. So I can see, like, as soon as you told me that, I mean, literally after the first sentence, after I asked that question, I was like, oh, I get it now. I see what happened. Like, you can tell what's happening because that's what happens. But so for the people out there, like, now that you're looking back, what are some other signs for domestic violence? Because some people don't know, like you said, they think it's funny. They think it's cute. They think it's a one-time thing. What are some signs that you would advise people to look for?
Isolation, individuals that think that they have to keep you to yourself, to themselves, separation from your family. If they don't want you going around your family, your friends, and that's something that I did not recognize when I was in college. I thought it was so amazing that I was dating this officer, and he was a little older than me, and it was just so cute that he was just taking me away on the weekend, not realizing that, he was taking me away on the weekend to keep me away from my friends. He would pick me up on Fridays and not bring me back until Monday when it's time for me to go to class. And my friends was like, "Why you always going on the weekend?" Stuff like that. So isolating, separating you from your friends, always criticizing what you're wearing, just. If they make you feel like you are less than who you think you are, then that is the telltale sign that they're not the one for you. And I always tell people, if they can't take you around and if they treat you different in public then they treat you behind closed doors. That's the first time. That's the first time. If they call you out your name, if they feel like they got to raise their hand in some point in time, you got to go. And there's no apologies. There's no apologies because when someone show themselves to you, that's really who they are. If they show you that they are overbearing, then trust me, they are overbearing and they're not going to change. You cannot change them.
No, and that's one of the things I tell people all the time, because people just think, oh, well, if he loved me, he'll change, or I can change him, or I mean, people get married. My first husband had three children when I married him with another woman, and I thought, well, and he was unfaithful to her. And I was like, well, but if he has his own kids with me, then he would never do that to me. And no, that's baloney. People do not change unless they want to change. And yes, like you saying to him, hey, I'm willing to work on this, but you've got to deal with your issues because there's rage, there's drinking, there's drugs, there's all of those things that I don't want to be a part of. That's all you can do. I mean, we could go all day and talk about boundaries, but being that you were raised, and even though you said your parents were separated or not together, but it was still healthy in that you saw love, you saw a normal thing, you saw co-parenting, you saw all this stuff. You probably saw boundaries. You probably had them applied and could respect them and knew what to do with them. And that is probably, honestly, probably your saving grace is that you were able to set them within that situation versus getting manipulated and pulled back in and stuck in a world that you were just not aligned with.
Exactly.
I
Exactly.
mean, I'm just trying to like, I like to try to understand, and I good on you because I didn't know boundaries. And that's why people get, people that are in these cycles and especially generational cycles of being walked on or abused and mistreated, it's because they don't know boundaries. They don't know when to say no. And they don't know when they, like you said, you realize that you were valuable enough, that you deserved more, and that
And
is
what I
huge.
learned was no is a sentence. It is a complete sentence. You don't have to put no explanation behind it. It is a complete sentence. When I say no, I don't have to explain why I say no.
Yep.
So being able to say no and go on and be happy, and that's the greatest feeling, not having to answer. And to make excuses,
Yeah, there's
I'm happy with who I am and who God has allowed me to be. And I think if it has not been for the spiritual walk in my life, I would have been here telling you a different story, probably.
Yeah, you would have
So
been
I'm
telling me a
grateful
story
that
of.
I had the upbringing, the spiritual upbringing that I've had, and that God showed himself to me at a young age. I've been able to experience him young, so I knew who he was. Losing my mom 12 days after my 16th birthday, I really had to get that relationship with him, because my mom was my best friend. She was my everything. That lady taught me stuff and shared stuff with me that I felt was way before my time. But now that I look back over my life, I knew that God was preparing her for those days that she wasn't going to be here for me, and I was going to need her. So I'm grateful for those 16 years that I had with her.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And it's you're very, very fortunate and very blessed and very fortunate that God was part of your life through all that. Again, a lot of people, a lot of people turn the other direction when things get bad. And I always say that's one of my biggest regrets is that I did turn my back and I did say, okay, you're not here to help me. I'm going to do this on my own. And I tried really hard. And it took many years to realize that I couldn't do it on my own. And, I have people say to me all the time, well, what if I don't believe? I'm like, you believe in something, right? And I'm just like, believe in something bigger and surrender to something bigger than yourself. I don't care what you think it is, because in my heart, I know what it is. Just surrender. And I think it takes the surrendering. Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, there's one God. So whatever you want to call it, however you want to call it, he is the same. Yeah, it don't matter if you want to call it Buddha, you want to call it whatever you want, Jesus, however you want to call it, Elohim, whatever you want to call it, he is the same. He's the same God. He's one God.
Amen.
But
And that,
however you get there, I don't care how you get there. I just want you to get there. And I just want you to know that he is everything. We won't. I got what you said, and I was in that same situation. looking for, you know, we have these scriptures. We hear these scriptures. We hear these things like Psalms 121, where it says, "Look to the hills from which my help comes." A lot of people take that literally. And they think that something is going to come down out of the sky. They thinking a white horse is going to come down and save them. But if you want to be saved, you got to save yourself.
Yep.
And one day it was just like plain, clear as day, just like you said, he kept saying your name. Well, you kept hearing your name. It's like, you want to be saved? Save yourself. You are your savior. Save yourself. Save
Yep.
yourself. You want to be saved? Can't wait for nothing to come out of the sky and nothing coming.
Yeah, nope, absolutely. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes for people when they're that broken. And that's the message I try to portray to people is it's just you and your higher power, and everything else can work itself out. You just have to believe and have the faith. And more importantly is, and for the listeners out there, because so many people just don't understand their worth. And again, that comes from being fed that your life, you know, during your life, your that love you had with your mother, that relationship you had, she filled that cup full of self-worth. So it was, I don't want to say easier when stuff happened to you because it obviously wasn't easy, but that was just one more battle you didn't have to fight as far as that self-worth. You probably did a little bit with the controlling relationship and stuff. I mean, you had to pull yourself back, rein yourself back in, I'm sure. But that self-worth, and you know, for the people out there listening, just hear it from her, hear it from Queen Angela, like say it again to them.
Yeah, just knowing that you are loved, understanding that your life is valuable, that you are worthy, that you know you didn't get dropped out of the sky, that he has a perfect plan for you. You know, we all have a something that we're supposed to be doing in this universe, and it takes all of us. But I tell everybody, find out who you are, catch up with your purpose, those things that drive you. Those things that make you happy, and stop trying to make everybody else happy, because you'll go to your grave trying to make everybody happy. Make yourself happy, and when you make yourself happy, you'll please the one that created you, because guess what? He's going to align you with the things that he's already aligned for you, according to Jeremiah 29:11. See, before you was even a mere thought, he had already mapped out the blueprint and the plan for your life. So it's about us catching up with that. That plan that he had already preordained for us.
Oh
And
yeah,
it's just us catching up to it and
And just
aligning
being
to it.
open,
So,
just being
yeah.
open and listening. Like I said, I listened with closed ears for a long time, and then I was like, wait a minute, maybe that's what I'm actually hearing. You know, maybe these messages, because you know, it's like they call it your inner critic, they call it your this, they call it your that, your intuition, whatever they call it, it's coming from somewhere.
It
Talk
does.
about, I want to, I don't want, I could talk to you all day, but I want you to tell people about your book tour and what you're up to and how you're helping people chase their dreams.
So, one of the things that I do, I started AALAC, which is African American Author Literacy Awareness Campaign. And what we do is try to promote Black and Brown authors, as well as literacy within our community. Here in South Carolina, we rank number 48 in education, and we fluctuate between number one and number five in domestic violence, which is unacceptable. So those are two things that I'm passionate about. So what I do is I try to go out and bring awareness to authors, literacy, as well as promote those different organizations, different things in the community. You may have authors that have shared their story through their book. A lot of us have a story that we want to share, things that we have endured. So I take this event as an opportunity to come together as a community. And we're able to share our stories, share what we're doing, give the community an opportunity to tap into our brands and to support what we're doing in the community. We're going to have at this particular event in Dallas, we're coming to Dallas, Fort Worth, May 18th. From 11 to 3 p.m. Where we have some community leaders that's going to be coming out. We're gonna have some live entertainment. We have DJ. We have opera singer that's gonna be coming out. The most important thing is I want people to experience the ultimate E3 experience, and that is educate, empower, and encourage. I want everybody that attend this event to walk away feeling like they have been educated on it. And how we're planning to do that. We're providing workshops on branding, marketing, networking, the power of your voice, just various things that will help you, whether you're an author or entrepreneur, or if you're aspiring to be an author or entrepreneur, it is a great opportunity. And then we want you to be empowered. So we're gonna have some speakers that's gonna speak some life into you, gonna empower you to be able to move, to be able to go to the next level, to elevate yourself and your brand, and then encourage. We hope that you leave encouraged, to stay on this journey. And if you are aspiring to be an entrepreneur, aspiring to be an author, we hope that you leave, taking the next step to become that author or that entrepreneur. So that's the gist of it. And we're going to different cities, different states, because we want to be able to tap into those that may think that they don't have a voice or think that they have an outlet to share their voice and to share their brand and to share those things that God has equipped them with. So that's the gist of it.
Well, I absolutely love it. And I feel like it's not just for even, maybe it's for anybody. Maybe it's, like you're reaching those authors and these entrepreneurs, but what about all the kids that you're educating that don't even know what they want to do? I mean, you're talking, if you're number 48 in education and number one or two in domestic violence, then these are people that don't know what they want to do. And you could inspire and spark a flame in any single person that attends your event. I mean, I think it's amazing. I think it's great.
But we're gonna have some amazing, there are gonna be some amazing individuals out there to really be able to pour into the community. Like I say, we have Councilman Chris Nettles is gonna be out there. U.S. Representative Mark Versailles is gonna be there. There's gonna be news media out there. So you're gonna have an opportunity to be able to connect with different individuals and to hear about what's going on in the community and how you can get involved in the community. So it is something for everybody. We're gonna have vendors out there. So you get an opportunity to tap into some of those local business owners, those that may not be your nation brand like Walmart and all those nation national brands, but you get to tap into your local market. So you're gonna get to meet some of your local vendors, as well as we're gonna have food trucks and food vendors out. And then there's also gonna be other activities going on within the community center as well. It's just gonna be a day of, I say it's gonna be a family affair. So you can bring your whole family out there. It's going to be something for everybody to do.
Well, that's what it sounds like. And honestly, this is what we're missing now. We're missing community, we're missing connection, we're missing networking and collaboration. I mean, that's literally, I'm the queen of collaborations. That's what you call yourself. And that's what this world is missing right now, because you can't do any of this
Look,
on your own.
somebody spoke that over my life. Somebody started calling me that, and I just walked into it. So I'm thankful to that person. So thank you for speaking that over my life. And I just had to own up to it. So.
I love it. And I think that's what attract, like during our talk, I love the educate, empower, and encourage, because again, this is what kids, adults, young adults, people that have been through trauma, people that haven't been through trauma, people that don't know what they want to do. I mean, what do they say? 82% of the people are right now unhappy in where they are in their careers. So change it. Like chase your dream.
That's
Like
it.
absolutely.
And you have to be the change that you want to see. Change begin and end with you. So if you want that change, you have to be.
Absolutely. So, okay, we know, how do we get tickets to this?
So it is free. If you want to go to Eventbrite, it'll give you more information about the event, so you can see a agenda. We have an agenda up there, and then you can see some of the authors and businesses that will be out there. We do have some companies that's going to be sponsoring us. So we're going to have some treats. We're going to be giving out swag bags. We're going to be, you know, just trying to make it a nice event. So if you go over to Eventbrite and just look for Chasing Your Dream book tour for the Dallas, Fort Worth area, it will come up. And then you can scroll down, check out our hostess, Miss Diana Jones, and our MC for the show is going to be the amazing Michael Gunn. He is one of the amazing poets on the scene in Dallas. And I tell you, he's amazing. So y'all definitely want to come out and experience. We're going to have some poets that's going to be just coming through. We have poets on the panel. Some of the authors are actually poets too. So we're going to get to tap into all of that. So they're going to be able to share some of their poetry. And we're going to have live entertainment, a DJ. So it's just going to be a lively family affair. We're going to get to come out and just enjoy, get educated, get empowered, and get encouraged to stay on this journey.
There you go. I didn't mean to cut you off in the middle of your three.
Okay.
Sorry about that. So I love it. I love it. And then tell us what you do for, I know what you're doing for your community with this, but do you have a business? Like, tell us if people want to work with you. Like, what do you, I know you speak, you're a public speaker, you're working on a book project. Tell us more about what you're doing.
So I do a lot. I am a self-publishing consultant. So I help people that want to self-publish. I am also a podcast. I'm a podcaster as well as a podcast. I have a network. I have 8 hosts on my network. I'm also a magazine owner. So I do a lot. I'm a life coach. I'm currently in school. So I do a lot.
I can't hear it. She's trying to say something, but I can't hear what she's saying.
I was trying to say that Angela has recently, well, she has always been holding the title. Can you guys hear me?
Barely.
Barely. Angela, tell them your award, which you've received for 25 million views.
Oh, your award you received. Tell us about that, Angela.
So, in November, I was inducted into the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame for broadcasting. And on this past Wednesday night, I reached my 55th all-time connection on the network that I am on. It was my second consecutive all-time connection, which means I've broken a record 2 times in a row. Wednesday night hit a all-time connection record on our network of 25,777,483 listeners. That is the all-time high for our network. So that's what I received on the other day.
Congratulations. So round that number up. Give me the big
it's
number.
Just, look, I'm just grateful. You know, 4 years ago, never thought I would be doing podcasting. Never thought I would be doing a lot of stuff that I'm doing. But somebody saw something in me. So just that somebody saw something in me, I try to do the same for other people in everything that I do. I believe that I'm a seer. And God has given me a gift to see gifts within people. And what I do is I try to stir up those gifts. Not only do they call me the queen of collaboration, but they call me a purpose pusher. Because if I see purpose in you, I'm going to push it up at you. And that's just what they say. So I can be a hard taskmaster sometimes, but if I see it in you, I'm sorry, but I want it to come up at you because I want you to be the best that you can be. I want you to thrive. So that's what I do.
But we love that. And we need more people because so often we don't see in ourselves what other people see in us. But so often people never say anything.
Yes,
so ma'am. Thank you for giving a voice to the people that don't have a voice and letting them know they have a voice and letting them know you see something in them. Because like you said, somebody saw something in you that you might not have seen in yourself. And that's why you're here. That's why you got, what'd you say, 50 bajillion views or something? What did you say? with a big number.
A lot, but too many. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that they tune in, but I'm not a person about numbers. I'm a person about, if I'm making a difference. If one person say, Miss Angela, you have impacted my life, that's all I need to hear.
If
Is that
only.
I impacted one person's life. That's I feel like I've done what I'm supposed to do. If
Well,
one person can say, Miss Angela, it's because of you that I didn't pick up that knife, or I didn't commit suicide, or I didn't drop off that bridge, but it's because of something that you said. If somebody say that to me, then I've done what I'm supposed to do. It's not about numbers with me.
no, it's not. It's not, but I'm just thinking of those numbers and how many people thought that never came to you and said that. So with
No.
those numbers, by default, you've saved a lot of lives, my friend. And for that, we appreciate you. So tell people if they want to work with you, if they want to, I'm sure you do online coaching. I'm going to put all the links in the show notes to the show, but just the quickest, easiest way to get hold of you.
Linktree, Queen of Collaboration. If you can just go over there, go to Linktree, Queen of Collaboration, and you can scroll down and see everything that I do.
Perfect. And I'll put that in the show notes so people can call you, ask you questions, link to your stuff, get your whatever you got. They're going to go see you. And then I have one more question for you. If you could say one thing to the listeners, something to hold on to from you, what would it be?
I live by it. You have to be the change that you want to see. Change starts and ends with you.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming on, Angela. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for everybody else out there listening, an amazing story of forgiveness, hope, healing, love, and laughter, and everything else that goes along with it. We appreciate you, Angela, and tune back in. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. If this episode resonated with you, or you think someone else could benefit from what you heard, why not share it with someone you care about? Let's heal from our past and take back control of our lives together. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to www.tammyvincent.com for a free chapter of my book, Surviving Alcoholic Parents. While you're there, be sure to catch my invigorating seminar, Awakening Your Authentic Self. Together, we will rewrite our stories and turn trials into triumphant smiles. Until next time, keep embracing your strength, keep being you, and know that you are more than enough. You are way more than enough right here, right now.